How are you, Vici? I'm sure you've been thoroughly excited about having this interview. You've just been dying to give it to me. Do you know that I was born in New Zealand?
Yeah, that was actually my first point here, Jeremy Paul. I want you to say now on New Zealand radio that you've now come back to us.
Never. I've never come to the dark side. Never come to the dark side. No, we're just going through a phase at the moment. Any day now, we're going to turn that corner, and we're not going to lose by as much. How does that sound?
That sounds like the biggest load of PC BS I've ever heard from you, Jeremy Paul.
Well, that usually comes out of my mouth, Vici. That usually comes out of my mouth.
Look, the problem is, and we're looking at this game tonight, so we all know the TAB's been talked up a lot over here. Jeremy, I'm not sure if you picked up on this, the shortest ever odds for an All Black victory, $1.02 head-to-head at the TAB. It's not sold out tonight, Jeremy. In fact, I'm hearing ticket sales for the entirety of the Rugby Championship are poor. Now, that could be because of a hangover from the Lions Tour, which was huge, or it could be, Jeremy Paul, that rugby fans, and you know this better than anybody, having been over here a lot, New Zealand fans are sitting back saying we're not getting a competition anymore.
Do you know that you brought up some really good points there? There has been a saturation of rugby with the British and Irish Lions, and I mean, what a fabulous tour! Can I just take my hat off to the New Zealand public and to the British and Irish Lions? They showed no one gave them a chance. I didn't give them a chance, mate. And to see the rugby that they played and the intensity that they played for 80 minutes. Hey, Wallaby, there's your blueprint to be able to be competitive. Just keep going for 80 minutes. And what we saw in that three test series was competition. And I suppose this now leads to where we are in the Rugby Championship is, have the All Blacks become so good that people aren't showing up? And like when I saw that first half last week, I was just amazed at how good the All Blacks were. But then we have to question ourselves: did we make them look that good as well, or are the Wallabies that bad? And I think now all New Zealand fans, all Black fans want the All Blacks to be in this position where they are just the greatest side, and they have been for over a century. But are they too good? And is this putting it into the fans' heads where they go, well, we know we're going to win. TAB has them at $1.02. Why show up? And then you put in Dunedin, where, yes, we did win in 2001, but before that, I think it was 102 years prior to us winning in Dunedin. So I don't like our chances this weekend. However, you'd like to think from an Australian supporter and a Wallaby supporter and the type of human beings Australians are, is that we will come out fighting and we will have a crack. And look, we did see in last year's Test Series, VG, you know, in Eden Park last year when Nigel Owens remarkably disallowed that Henry Spay try with Dane Haley-Petty getting in the way, supposedly. At that really crucial point, the Wallabies would have taken the lead, with 14 minutes to go. So that's the sort of competitiveness the Wallabies need to get to. And look, we're so far off that, though.
No, and again, this has become the only talking point, Jeremy Paul, this week. We're not really talking about Owen Franks being out. I mean, Wyatt Crockett, to me, that would normally be two significant losses here, the experience both those guys have got on. Really, the talking point is around, does anyone believe the Wallabies can win tonight? And the answer, overwhelmingly, from all the All Black pundits I've listened to, former coaches, players, tends to be no. Now, where does that leave Michael Checker then, and the coach of the Wallabies? I mean, how much more rope does he get as coach?
Oh, look, to answer that first question, no, we're not a chance. No. We're absolutely no chance. We don't deserve to even be given that optimism of being a chance. Just simply the way we played last week and the way we have been playing probably over the last sort of 12 months, and that domestic test series against Fiji, Scotland and Italy wasn't impressive at all, losing to Scotland. We then came into this test series and obviously the debacle of Super Rugby for the form. And, I mean, you got to look at it, Beachy. Like, over here in Australia where we have, you know, two other major codes in AFL and Rugby League, you have to look at the bottom sides. Say, for instance, in the NRL, you've got the Newcastle Knights. Would a Wayne Bennett change a Newcastle Knights? Well, it didn't, because he actually went to the Knights But would one of those great coaches go into a side where the cattle is not good enough? Now, I believe that's where the Wallabies are at the moment. Let's just forget about the problem where we're going to get this cattle from, because at least in these other two codes, in the NRL and Rugby League and NFAFL, Australian rules, they have wonderful draft systems and they have wonderful talent coming through. Our issue is we don't know where this talent's going to come through, and I believe the cattle themselves are not playing either A, up to their ability, or we simply just don't have the cattle. I believe Michael Checker is the right coach. He proved that by getting the Wallaby side, and this is under 2 years ago, VG, into a World Cup final, where no one ever even thought we had a chance of getting him past the quarterfinal. So, and he won a Super Rugby Championship in 2015 as well. So, I believe he is definitely the right person.
Because the thing about it, look, I heard Alan Jones on my show while I was away a couple of weeks ago, and these guys can come out. Alan, look, I enjoy chatting with Alan, but also he comes out always and says, well, the coaches are wrong. Well, good luck, Alan. Why don't they put Alan in charge and see how he goes? Maybe you're right here. Jeremy, you could have Steve Hansen, for example, and there was talk again this week that maybe they needed a New Zealand coach here to come in. Warren Gatland, would they make a difference at the moment? I don't know.
Well, no, they wouldn't. No, not instantly. This is the thing. And let's also look at our administration, where Bill Pulver has put our code and the Australian Rugby Board. One of the best decisions that has actually come out in the last couple of weeks is that Bill Pulver has actually resigned. And it's not a personal attack on him. It's, at the end of the day, if you're going to take the $500,000 a year for that job, then if you don't do your job, you're gone. It's as simple as that. It's a high-pressure job, and everyone has a right to criticise when we're in this position. You then look at the decision they have made in terms of the Western Force. Are you absolutely kidding me that a $6.8 billion man, he is one of the richest men in Australia, has backed the Force?
Yeah.
Has backed them publicly to a point where he cannot back them anymore. They have to be successful because he has gone so far. Are you now telling me that we don't want a $6.8 billion person in our code? That just shows to me where we are administration-wise. So everything, too, funnels from that. So the talent pools in terms of our high-performance units, our selection criteria with these young kids. Beachy, we just had our Australian Schoolboys Championships probably about 6 weeks ago, which I was a part of, and helping out one side and getting into my coaching side of things. And in the final, we had Queensland 2, so there's two sides, and Queensland 2 being the weaker side, and ACT schools, who hadn't been in a final for 20-odd years. Now, the best ones, the best teams are your New South Wales one and your Queensland ones. That's where they all basically come from, the Australian schoolboy side. Those two sides, Queensland 2 and ACT schools, were in the final. ACT school wins. 29 years, they get two players in the Australian schoolboy side. New South Wales one that wasn't even in the final, got 11.
Wow.
Massive
wow.
Debacle. Like, this is it. This is the VG. I didn't mind those selections because I was actually there for the week and I saw the difference in the athleticism and where these kids were. And again, maybe it was a combination thing, the reason why they didn't make the final. But I need to know, and what the Australian rugby public needs to know, is what are they doing with those Queensland 2 and those Australian, those ACT schoolboys? They better be in some type of program, because late developers, all this sort of stuff, and this is the talent we're losing. We are losing this across the board. Angus Crichton, who's now playing for South Sydney, absolute superstar, this kid. Absolute superstar. We lost him. He was 2 years Australian schoolboy rugby union, now will not come back to the code. We have a plethora of problems over here, Vici, and the Wallabies is just what everyone looks to. But if we dive underneath the covers, oh, God, we are messy.
I mean, I know how they did, because the ARU have cocked up this whole process with the Force and the Rebels. Now, we know, and look, people are saying to me during the week, well, Vici, you've been campaigning to get rid of an Australian side. Yes, I have. I just think they got rid of the wrong one. So the Victorian government has secured Bledisloes, big fixtures, Lions fixtures in 10, 12 years' time, $20 million went in. Now the ARU have been offered $50 million Australian dollars by the billionaire, as you say, and they've had to say no because the deal's done. I mean, this is the world's biggest cock-up.
Oh, tell me about it. Look, I've been campaigning for the Force, but Firstly, we can't afford five teams. That's a given from a financial point of view. But we also don't have the talent to service five teams. And that's been pretty prevalent with the last 5-6 years with the Melbourne Rebels. Now, you also got to look at the markets that they're in. The Melbourne Rebels are in a market where you've got 10 AFL sides, 10. You then have a strong VFL competition, which is just that's the feeder comp into the AFL nationally, which they go into the draft system, all the sort of stuff. So it's incredibly strong competition underneath. You've got AFL sides down there that have over 70,000 members. VG, 70,000 members. So that's just Australian rules. Then you've got two A-League sides in Melbourne Victory and Melbourne City. And then you have the amazing Melbourne Storm. Now, the Melbourne Storm in the last 20 years have produced two Melbourne-based players. Two. They produced one a decade. Yep. So you're now telling me all of a sudden we're going to find all this talent in Melbourne when one of the greatest rugby league sides in the last 20 years has only produced two Melbourne-based players. Incredible. Whereas the Western Force have now gone and produced Wallabies. They're producing Wallabies. And their playing numbers in terms of juniors have now equaled, I think they might have surpassed ACT, and have a projection in the next 5 years to double the ACT and Melbourne and be more than Melbourne as well. So, and then when you look at the market in Western Australia, mate, there's two AFL sides and one A-League side. They're never going to get a rugby league team. They're not going to get another AFL side. So the population base in terms of that talent is there to be picked. And I cannot believe they took it away. And we talk about being a national, the Wallabies being a national team and the competition being national. Everything's on the eastern coast board. Like, everything is on the east side of Australia, whereas we had the west coast with Western Australia, with the Force. And to be honest, they came second as well. They came second in the Australian pool.
So, no.
Mate, I just think it just shows how poor our game
is. Okay, couple of things, Jeremy, really quickly, and thank you for your time. Jeremy Paul, former Wallaby legend ahead of tonight's test match. A couple of things. Is this for you must-watch, Jeremy? I.e., would you go out with your lovely partner, or would you sit with your mates and say, we've got to have a destination for the All Blacks versus the Wallabies, or has that moved on because of the record?
Oh, look, VG, I've never paid for a ticket and never will pay for a ticket to a game.
But you know what I mean, pub tonight? I mean, do you go, we've got to have plans?
Oh, no, we do. I do. Look, and this is one thing I will take my hat off to the Wallaby supporters. They are amazing and incredibly loyal. We have the most loyal fans, having gone through this last 15 years of a drought with the Bledisloe, but just where the game is at too. And with... there's no collaboration at the moment, so therefore people are sticking more to club rugby, people are sticking more to Super Rugby, are fed up with the Wallabies. So, yeah, it's a pretty difficult question to answer, Vici, but I'd like to think that the real core, strong, loyal Wallaby fans will definitely still pay their money to go, will still go to a pub, still support that Wallaby side, which I'll be doing, and I'll be definitely having a couple of ales.
All right, last one. We're talking about guys at reinvented positions. Now, Colin Meads, the tragic news came through on Sunday. They're doing some wondrous stuff, by the way, tomorrow, Jeremy. You'll be loving this. They're taking the coffin. So, Sir Colin, the last chance for his teammates for Sunday school at Waititi Club in Tikawiti to have a beer with Sir Colin. He'll be there in the room. Monday is the funeral. So we're trying to look at players in the All Black team that have reinvented positions at the moment. And there's a few to pick from. So what I'm asking you, if you had to put pen to paper right now, Jeremy Paul, and give me your top three who would be in that All Black side that have to be selected, who are they?
Oh, wow. Brody Retallick.
Yeah.
Bowden Barrett.
Yep.
And Ben Smith.
It's amazing now, because the reason I asked you that, and bang on, well done to you, Jeremy Paul, I knew you'd get it. The amount of people, Robin Brooke during the week, Afisa Tunu'u last weekend, all saying now, Brody Retallick is the best player in the world, as we saw a couple of years ago with the IRB award. He is the first choice All Black.
Mate, undoubtedly. He has reconfigured the second, like his mobility, Look, those tall, angry, they were always angry, those big, tall guys. Anyone over 6'5", for some reason, is just angry. I don't know why, but every player I've ever played with, the Justin Harrisons of the world, all these, they're just angry from the morning they wake up to the time they go to sleep, and he shows that aggression. But it's how nimble he is, and how good his feet are. Like, for a big man, and his ability and his motor, mate, he's got one of the biggest motors I've seen on any player. I think he's in a skill level. He's always been a favourite player of mine, but also too, Beauden Barrett. I mean, what a genius this kid is. But Ben Smith, look, Ben Smith is actually my favourite player. I just love watching this guy. I love watching this Pacquiao get up and jump up, and he's incredible. That 30 to 40 metre kick he can put in the air and regather, and always beats the first tackler. And the fact that you guys so casually just put him to the wing and bring in young Damien Kenzie, God, you guys can spit in our face, can't you? You take the best fullback in the world and you go and put him on the wing. Damn, I hate you, Vici. Damn, I hate you guys.
Mate, if I was there right now, Jeremy, I'd hug you.
I need more than a hug, Vici.
Good chatting with you, mate. Enjoy it tonight with the boys. As always, absolute treat having you on the program, bud.
No, thanks for having me. Go, you Wallabies. I think we're a chance.